Hebrews chapter number 11. We're still there. Verse number 27. Hebrews 11, verse 27, 28, and 29. By faith, he being Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him, God, who is invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Through faith, he kept the Passover. Well, we just read that one. Hang on. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, saying to do, were drowned. That's God's word, and all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. A privilege to read it and a greater privilege to preach it and to hear it, and we need your help to understand it. So God, I pray that you would give us the understanding of your word, give us spiritual ears to hear, hearts to receive, and wills to do, and pray that we would rejoice that we are hearing from God tonight from his word. And we pray that your word would be strengthening to us. In Christ's name and for Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. So, for 10 chapters, up to chapter 11, 10 chapters getting to chapter 11, the writer of Hebrews has been presenting a new covenant that is in Jesus Christ. And he is presenting this new covenant in Jesus Christ to a people, the Hebrews, who have been tied to the old covenant. And he has tried to show them that they can indeed abandon Judaism and they can leave the old covenant behind and they can proceed forward with Christ. Matter of fact, not only can they do that, they must do that. Amen? They must do that. Then, at the end of chapter 10, he introduces the concept of faith by stating that the only way that anyone can ever apprehend the new covenant in Christ is by faith. And that's not anything new, because he quotes the prophet Habakkuk from the Old Testament, who wrote, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, that the just shall live by faith. So the only way anyone will ever be able to grasp, get a grip on the new covenant in Christ, which brings us into God's presence and forgives us of our sins and gives us eternal life, is by faith. Not works, faith. And with that truth about faith firmly planted, the writer then moves into a lengthy discussion in chapter 11 on what faith is and what faith looks like in those who have been given faith. And we have seen it in Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, and last week we began looking at faith in Moses. I think it is a sad thing to see people, trying to reach God, trying to be right with God by everything but faith. They try to be right with God in their own self-efforts. They try to be right with God in their own works. They try to be right with God by legalistic, rule-based systems in which, to a large part, they themselves invent. They try to be right by complicated, ceremonial, religious systems, certain rituals. And they use all these things in an attempt to be right with God, and they never succeed because you only can be right with God on the basis of simple belief. That's all God asks, right? That we would believe. That's all He wants. And He does the work Himself. So if we truly understand salvation, we understand that we are only saved on the basis of God's work and our faith, right? It's God's work, our faith in God's work. Say amen. That's how we're saved. And even our faith, that we believe in Him, is part of His work. Say amen. Now, as we look at Moses, there are five statements here in the text, including last week's text, that records Moses. They all five begin with the words by faith or through faith, and together they summarize the life of Moses and his ministry. By faith, his parents hid him. By faith, he chose God's people over Pharaoh's house. By faith, he left Egypt for Midian. By faith, he kept the Passover. And by faith, he led the people through the Red Sea. So as we looked last week at Moses, we said that faith, by faith, Moses made certain choices or certain decisions. So faith makes certain choices. And we saw that by faith, Moses chose against worldly power and position. He chose against pleasure of sin, and he chose against the plenty of wealth. And he not only rejected those things, but he rejected position for slavery and pleasure for suffering and plenty for poverty. And it's only faith that makes those kind of decisions. Because only faith sees He that is invisible. And only faith sees the riches that are found only in Christ. So as we looked last week at what faith rejects or what faith chooses against, we want to look this week at what faith believes or what faith receives. So let's look at verse number 27. We'll begin there. Again, important, by faith. By faith, Moses did what? He forsook Egypt. We have this little addition here, not fearing the wrath of the king or of Pharaoh. Because Moses endured. And he endured as faith enabled him to see Him who is invisible, which is God. So, you remember that Moses killed an Egyptian who was beating a Hebrew person, and upon killing that Egyptian, he left Egypt for Midian. And it would only be understandable that Moses would fear that once Pharaoh found out that he had killed an Egyptian, that Pharaoh would use all of his resources and would seek him and maybe kill him or bring him to justice. And what we see here is that Every day that we live, every day that we draw breath, every day that we journey in this life, there are many things that can cause us to fear. Say amen. It's very easy for us to live in fear. We have no idea what tomorrow may bring. We have no idea what the doctor will say tomorrow. And Moses could have lived that way. He could have lived as a fugitive, always running from his life, always looking over his shoulder, wondering if today is the day that Pharaoh is finally going to catch up with him. But God had a plan for Moses. And faith believes that plan. Say amen. And so what we see here is that fear, as real as fear is and can be only confronted and defeated by faith in God's plan for your life. So although we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, we don't know what catastrophes could come into our life tomorrow. We don't, but yet we do know by faith, if we are saved, we do know that God has a plan for us and God is working all things for our good. So the way we overcome difficult and threatening circumstances or fearful things is by faith, because faith sees God who is invisible, and this God who is invisible has a plan for us. And whatever happens to us is part of the plan. Say amen. So Moses believed that. He believed God had a plan. He was sure that God had a plan, and therefore he was sure of his future. So he left Egypt, and he would wait for God's timing because he believed that God had a plan and all of this was part of God's plan. So how long would Moses have to wait for God to implement his plan, put his plan into motion for Moses? Well, it would be 40 years. 40 years. He leaves Egypt at 40. He spends 40 years tending sheep in Midian. It will be when Moses is 80 that God again touches him to go deliver his people from bondage. Someone wrote this. I thought it was good. They said, some people never count the cost before they do something, and other people never stop counting the cost. Say amen. We're always in a hurry, aren't we? We're always in a hurry. But listen to me. God's never in a hurry. For 40 years, Moses had become somebody in Egypt. And then God takes the next 40 years to make Moses a nobody so that he can use him. Say amen. We have to stop arranging our own plans and trust the plans that God has for us. So faith took him out of Egypt, took him into Midian. Faith kept him in Midian for 40 years. It's a test of his vision. It's a test of his faith. And faith always has its eye on God, who has a plan. And God and his plan always cast out our So by faith, he forsook, he left Egypt. That faith caused him not to fear the wrath of the king, for he endured, he lasted, he endured the 40 years. How? By that faith, seeing him who is invisible and has a plan for him. So go back and look at it. The midwives who delivered Moses didn't fear Pharaoh and his decree to kill the male children. Say amen. His parents didn't fear Pharaoh either as they hid him. And then Moses has no fear of the king either. All because of faith, who sees the one who is invisible. So where there is fear in this life, where there are things that cause us to fear and be frightened, that simply is an evidence of a weakness of our faith. that sees Him who has a perfect plan for us, including whatever we're going through. Amen? Number two here, look at verse 28. Through faith, again, important, we see that, through faith, it is faith, through faith, He kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest He that destroyed the firstborn, who would that be? That would be God through the death angel, right? Should touch them, them being the Hebrews. So this is a reference to the 10th plague, right? God had warned Moses what was going to happen. And what was going to happen was the firstborn of all animals and the firstborn of all people were going to die that night. God was going to come through the land with the angel of death, and every firstborn in the land was going to die. Say amen. But God not only warned Moses, but God instructed Moses. And He instructed Moses in that He had made provision for the people. Although judgment was coming, there was a provision made. So He instructs the people of God to kill a lamb, take the blood of that lamb, put it on the doorpost and on the cross piece on the top. The angel will come by, he'll see the blood, and he'll pass by. The only way they're going to survive tonight, the only way that death's not going to come into their house tonight, is if the angel sees the blood. They must be obedient to the Word of God and apply the provision made by God. So you know what Moses did? He believed God. You know what he did? He believed God that the death angel was coming that night. He believed that if he didn't do anything, death was going to invade his home and every home of every Hebrew. He believed that. Why did he believe that? Because God said it. And then he obeyed God. He believed God. He obeyed God. You know who does what God says? Those who obey God. Those who believe God. So the judgment of God sweeps through the land that night. But it passes over every house that has the doorpost covered with the blood of the Lamb. Now, of course, this points us to the provision of God in His deliverance of us from our sins and the wrath of God in the person and the blood of Jesus Christ. So, faith believes the plan of God. Faith receives the plan of God, drives out fear. Faith receives the provision of God, right? Faith receives Christ. Faith believes that Christ is the one who takes our sins and takes our punishment by dying on the cross for us. And you don't add anything to that. You don't add anything to the work of Christ. Christ finishes the work of salvation, and either we receive that complete provision or we don't. Now, let me ask you a question. Well, did Christ do part of the work or did Christ do all of the work? Is Christ our complete satisfaction, our complete provision, or is He just a partial provision? Was the lamb complete or partial? When they applied the blood of the lamb to the doorpost, did they have to do something else? So Moses believed God for God's provision. It seemed like a strange thing, right? But God said to do it, and they did it because faith always accepts God's provision. And Moses didn't say, God, I get what you're doing. I understand that. But I've got a great idea for you. I want to add something to that lamb's blood. so that we can really be sure that the death angel is going to pass over. What about if we do something? Can we do something, God, to add to that blood on the doorpost? It'll be great. It'll be good. Can we do 4 or 5 good deeds, add to that? Can we go out in a vacant lot, have some sort of religious ceremony or something like that to sort of add to the blood of the lamb on the doorpost? Does Moses say that? Wouldn't that be foolish? You know what religion is? Foolish. He didn't say any of that. You know why he didn't say any of that? Because God had made a provision. And Moses didn't need to add anything to it. All he had to do was believe it. Just believe it! Right? So faith receives the provision of God. That's the difference. Works tries to work up its own provision. Faith just says, God did it. I believe it. So faith always accepts God's provision as well as God's plan. Faith doesn't reason. Faith doesn't question. Faith doesn't argue. Faith doesn't add to. Faith simply believes what God says and receives the provision that God offers. Say amen. Religion questions. Religion adds to. And you can be religious and go to hell. The only way you're going to go to heaven is if you believe in the provision that God has set forth, which is, for us, Christ. Look at verse 29. Again, by faith, who's they? The Israelites, right? Led by Moses, the Israelites, they what? They passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians were saying to do were what? Drowned. So, God delivers the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage, and He has promised them a land, right? And He has told them that this land that He has promised them and prepared for them is a land that is flowing with milk and honey. A place where they'll no longer be slaves. A place where they'll be free to worship and glorify God. So He's delivered them out of bondage, taking them to this land, leading them to this promised land that will be a blessing for them. But the problem is the way He's leading them. You see, there's a day when you and I are going to be in glory. The struggle we have is the way we get there. What we got to go through to get there. Say amen. You see, tonight, if I ask you, your questions are not if you're going to make it to heaven. Your question is, what I got to go through to get there. Say amen. So, that's their problem. The way that God's leading them. God's in charge, right? You know, on your GPS, when you put in the place you want to go, mine asks me, do I want to go the fastest way? The fastest way. Usually the way I want to go. What's the fastest way for me to get there? God doesn't take the Israelites to the promised land the fastest way. He doesn't take them the easiest way. He doesn't take them the most comfortable way. God leads them an impossible way. Right? I mean, if I am advising God, I've got some suggestions for him. I mean, God leads them to a place where there are impassable mountains on both sides of them. There's an impassable body of water called the Red Sea in front of them. And the Egyptians are angry, and they're pursuing them from behind. God's GPS system must be messed up. They keep saying, your destination is on your right. This can't be the destination. But it was. You ever feel that way? God, whatever you have allowed come into my life, this can't be. This can't be right. But God and His providence had led them to this impossible situation. God's providence had led them to this dead end. God's providence had brought them to be between a rock and a hard place. It happens. Say amen. It happens. God doesn't always bring you the easiest way or the most comfortable way or the fastest way. Sometimes God puts difficulty in your life. Sometimes God puts impossibility in your life. God doesn't always lead to ease and comfort. In fact, I would say He rarely leads that way. So what do? When you come to impassable obstacles in your life? What do? When you come to impossible situations? What are the Israelites going to do now? Well, they have to have faith that God's promise to deliver them is true, despite what they see. Despite what they can reason. I just can't see a way out of this. We're goners. We're done. I can't think of a way to get out of this. So despite your reasoning, and despite what you see, and despite how you feel, God has brought you into this place. And you have to believe that He will make good on His promise. They must believe that God promised a land. And He can't let these impossible circumstances make Him a liar. God is not a liar. So, the reason that God has brought them this way, the reason God has brought them along this path and to this impossible situation is that He is going to prove to them and to the nations around that He has matchless power. He's not like the gods of the Egyptians who He has just defeated with every plague that He brought to their land. He brings them this way, He says, so that all nations will see His power and will see His power and tremble. It will be a demonstration of God's power and God's love because there is nothing that God can't overcome. Do you realize that? There's nothing that God can't overcome. When God brings difficulty and trouble in your life, He's just showing you He's got power. He's showing you He's still in control. And nothing overcomes Him. There is no obstacle in your life that is more powerful than God. There's nothing that you have that God cannot deliver you from. Do you believe that? So given this impossible environment, what does God do? Well, what God does is He sends a wind. Say amen. And that wind comes through the Red Sea and parts it. It divides it. And the water stands on either side like a wall, hundreds of feet high, so that they walk across. How are we going to get across? Who would have thought that a wind would come through and divide the waters and dry the land so that they would walk across the Red Sea and not even get mud between their toes? Say amen. Oh, listen. Just because God's brought you to a difficult situation don't mean God's going to leave you there. Now, if I'm there, I'm not one to not think through things. If I'm there among those Hebrews that day, here's my question. You reckon the water's going to stay that way? And I'm pretty far back in the line. You think it's going to hold out till I get through? I'm not sure I want to jump myself in there not knowing how long that water is going to stay that way. Well, God said it was going to stay that way. And God said it will stay that way till all of us get across. Now you believe that. You believe God and you get to walk it. Say amen. It is all by faith in God and His promise. And you see what faith does? Faith takes God at His word. And faith always winds up victorious. Say amen. Now here's my question. My next question. Why did the Egyptians drown? And I know you have this easy answer, but you probably haven't thought about it, right? You say, well, the Egyptians drowned because God let the waters return back. All right, I got that. But have you ever thought why the Hebrews were able to pass through and the Egyptians were drowned? Thought about that. While the Hebrews went across by faith, believing the promise of God, that water would stay that way until they all got across. Amen. The Egyptians come up. They don't believe that. They're going across not based on faith. Amen. They're going across because they are presuming certain things about God. They're presuming that the water's that way and it's going to stay that way. They're presuming that God would not destroy them and that the water would stay until they got across. It was presumption. And presumption got them drowned. Say amen. The difference between faith and presumption is faith will deliver you and presumption will get you drowned. So if you're waiting for things to look a little less chaotic before you move forward, you just need to have faith in God and move on forward. Say amen. Going to have to walk through with a lot of stuff piled up on both sides of you and believe God's going to make it stay there. Let me say that again. Life is you walking through a bunch of stuff piled up beside you and you're going to walk through it trusting God's going to keep it that way. You say, well, I don't know if that's biblical or not. Well, I'm glad you doubt that. Listen to what God said in Isaiah 43:1-3. Are you listening? God says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." Say amen. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior." What's he say? I'm going to withhold it from you. I'm going to keep it off of you. It's my promise. Trust me in my promise. Say amen. Is that true? Do you believe that? Well, if you have faith, you believe that, right? Because faith believes God's plan. Faith believes God's provision. And faith believes God's promise. Say amen. Why did Moses leave the power and the pleasures and the prestige and the wealth of Egypt? Because of faith. And the faith that God had given him caused him to believe that God had a plan for him that was better than the plan that Egypt had for him. God had a provision for him that was going to save him from the wrath of God and from eternal torment. Say amen. And God had a promise. And God was going to get him to the place that he promised no matter what. Amen. That's what faith believes. That's what faith receives. Do you have that kind of faith? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We're grateful that you have penned it down for us and you have recorded it for us. Thank you for these examples of faith that we have looked at. Thank you for the example of Moses. And as we look at the faith he received from God, let us draw comparisons to the faith that we say we have received by God, rejecting the things of the world and believing and receiving the things of God. May that be true of every one of us. In Christ's name and for Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.